really thankful for the two songs that was chosen this morning. Actually, that those songs could be a sermon in themselves, and I could just sit down. When we stop and think about the various things, I think about the love that was shown yesterday evening, or yesterday day and evening. I think of gathering together as friends and loved ones. I don't know when I've enjoyed myself any more than I did yesterday. It seems like that the more I'm here, the more I forget about others and just remember my loved ones here. And yes, we definitely need to pray for those that are sick and afflicted. As I wrote this sermon out, I probably won't read too much of it. But Jewel and I feel at home at this congregation. As many of you know, we were members here several years ago and felt very much at home then, too. I feel that God wanted us to be here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. This is a wonderful gospel to share because it gives great hope. It tells about the great love that Jesus Christ had for us, the great love that God had for us, that He gave His only begotten Son. And you know, as I think about my family, I don't know as I could give my son or my daughter. But yet God had such compassion upon the children of men that He gave His only begotten Son. This is a wonderful gospel to share because it's true. There's nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ that's false. And we don't have to try to remember what we say if we just speak His words, because every one of His words is true. I'd like to ask that you would remember Brother Larry Shaw in your prayers because he's going to go through another surgery Tuesday. And he needs our prayers. I think he's frightened. He's frightened and alone. Yet he told me the other night when I talked to him that he says, you know, I've lost all my family. He says, Rhonda and Chuck are gone. And he says, Colleen doesn't want to take care of an old man now. But he does have people that do love him. Thursday night, we heard about how God has answered our prayers. He's answered our prayers with Brother Dale. I'm sure that we were all praying very hard for him. And we we need to pray hard for each other. We were in prayer meeting the other night, and Jewel had planted a garden, and she's working every day in that garden. But we had some hard luck. We had hail and other the other day that just about destroyed some of it. But she persists in saving as much as she can. And the other night during prayer meeting, we talked about Jewel going out and weeding her garden. And someone said, well, maybe you ought to talk about that, to weed your garden. And I'm going to talk about weeding your garden. But it's going to be a little bit different garden than what you're thinking about. I'm going to ask that you weed your spiritual garden. You know, in the scriptures, it talks about the master giving a parable. And the parable is found in Matthew 13. Well, it's also found in Luke 8 and Mark 3. So it must be important. He repeated it three times. And as we listen to this parable, it's another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of God is likened to a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Talking about the wheat. And he said, nay, lest ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Sometimes we have to be careful how we weed our gardens. And if you're like I am, you don't know a good plant from a tare. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which the man took and sowed in the field, which indeed, is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. and another parable he spake unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which the woman took and hid it in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Sometimes we have to add things to wheat to make it palatable, to make it where it can be made into cakes, pies, various other things, into a cereal. But we have to add some things. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. This is something that we're not to take to the world everything. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. But we're to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ and not the things that are meant not for their ears. The parable of the tares. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So he's likened himself unto the one that sows the good seed, which he was. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, sometimes we stand up here and we declare the Word of God, and you can look out over the congregation from time to time, and you can see that there's some that don't have ears to hear. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hid in the field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth that all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls. Who then who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he hath and bought it. You know, the other, back some time ago, we tore an old cow shed down. And Dale brought his tractor up and gathered up the manure that was found in the cow shed that was probably at least a foot deep and spread it over the garden and tilled it in so that we could plant and sow the seeds in the garden. Here's more about the parable of the sower. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, and because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And when I was thinking about this garden and Jewel going out and weeding the garden, I got to thinking, what weeds do I have or you have that are growing in your garden? The definition of a tare: one that looks like wheat but does not produce a kernel or fruit. Good seeds and bad seeds can grow together, but is the good seed not to sow them together, for the bad will overcome the good. Now, I don't believe that we would consciously sow them together, but sometimes we allow them to come into our lives. Sometimes we allow them to come into our lives, and sometimes we, other people, will slip them into our minds. I was sitting there this morning, listening to the lesson, Sunday school lesson, and I started writing down a few things that we allow to grow in our garden. One was discouragement. Sometimes we become discouraged, and that causes us to fall away. And other people can cause discouragement to come upon us. Another one is doubt. Sometimes doubt enters our life. We doubt whether we're worthy to receive the blessings that God has for us. We doubt that God hears the prayers that we offer. We doubt that we're good enough. Another terror that is planted in our garden is distrust. Sometimes we have distrust of those around about us, or others distrust us. I think that we have ulterior motives. Sometimes we feel that others have ulterior motives. Another one that I listed was pride. And we see this all through the Book of Mormon. We see that pride cometh before a fall. And sometimes we're accused of having pride. And sometimes we do. At one time I heard a man that was talking about humility. And he said that he was proud of his humility. They don't go together, do they? But sometimes we in the Church of Christ, we feel very proud because we have the fullness of the gospel. And others don't. Sometimes we feel proud because we feel that God has favored us. But we have to remember something, that God loves all of His children. He loves good and bad all the same. He would prefer that we were good. Another one that we talked about this morning was hate. And how hate can destroy the heart. You can't have love and hate grow together. Hate is a terror. And we see a lot of people around this country and around the world that have hate. And their heart is full of hate. Another one that I wrote down just a little bit ago was anger. The Lord doesn't want us to be angry, especially one toward another. He wants us to love one toward another. And this morning we saw this when our sister asked for prayers for Renee, and we added Sharon and Randy in there. Help your sister. You know, there are several things that I remember growing up. My mother used to say, clean your hands. And I think I said something about this the other night. We have to have clean hands. Especially when we were serving the sacrament or administering to someone. And you wonder, what did I do? Is my hands clean? And a clean heart. A clean heart is a pure heart. It can't have hate and anger and distrust and doubt and discouragement to live in there with it. A clean heart. A pure heart. Last night we were sitting around the table and my sister June said that she got angry. She got angry with someone and she was brought down short because she knew the Lord was unhappy with her for the anger that she had. And sometimes we feel that we have a righteous anger I felt that I had a righteous anger the other day. We went to the doctor, and the doctor's receptionist, when we checked in, she said, "Well, you don't have an appointment today." And, yes, I do. I said, "You called us to remind us of it." And she says, "No, your appointment was yesterday, and you missed it." And I said, "No, my appointment was today at this time." And we drove 70 miles to come to this appointment. And she disputed me. And I was getting angry. And I said, "Jewel, let's go. We don't need these people." And my wife calmed me down. And we finally got a hold of the nurse. They called the nurse and they said, "Well, we can take him right now." But sometimes we get angry. And we feel it's a righteous anger. And this is what June was feeling. She had ordered a pair of shoes, and they said that they never received the order from the doctor. And she got angry. But she felt bad about it. And so she repented of it. Just as we have to repent, and I have to repent of my anger. You can't let anger grow in your garden, your spiritual garden. How about jealousy? What if you're jealous one of another? Just because somebody might have a better house than you do, or a better car, or in some cases, a better job. I felt that I had the perfect job because I loved what I did. And if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. But we have these things growing in our gardens, these tares. And if we pull them up, sometimes we destroy the wheat that's growing there with them. We have a lot of reason to be encouraged because we see that Jesus died for us. And he's waiting to take us home to him. Doubt, you can't have doubt in your life and have Christ. Doubt and fear run together. And if you have doubt and fear, you can't have hope. And hope is one thing that we have in the Scriptures. One thing that we have in the gospel of Christ and in Christ. Distrust, we see this in the church. As someone doesn't trust another person, another brother, or another sister, they have ulterior motives. But we have to have trust. Pride. The Lord wants us to be a proud people, but not a prideful people. Hate. All through the Scriptures we read of how Jesus promotes love. And there's no room for hate in the Church of Christ. Just like there's no room for distrust, or doubt, or discouragement, or pride, and no room for anger. We can't be angry with one another and hope to be in favor, in God's favor, and jealousy. We can't be jealous of one another because of what another person has. And as we sang this last song, Just As I Am, it says, the third verse says, just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without, O Lamb of God, I come. We come with a repentant attitude. We talked about this last night, about we're to preach nothing but repentance to this generation. Book of Alma, 16 chapter, starting with the 134th verse. And now, because ye are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye. We don't want to be compelled to be humble. We want to be humble anyway, but we will still be blessed if we would do it. For a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. And now surely whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, as I have said unto you, that because you were compelled to be humble, ye were blessed. Do ye not suppose that they are more blessed who are truly humbled, who truly humble themselves because of the word? Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble. Because of their exceeding poverty, therefore blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word, or even compelled to know, before they will believe. Yea, there are many who do say, if thou wilt show unto us a sign from heaven, then we shall know of surety, then we shall believe. Now I ask, is this faith? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For a man knoweth a thing, he hath no cause to believe, for he knoweth it. And now, how much more cursed is he that knoweth the will of God and doeth it not, than he that only believeth, or only hath cause to believe, and falleth into transgressions. Now of this thing, ye must judge. So we've talked a lot this morning about a garden, and what is in our spiritual garden that we need to weed out. And we wonder how they got there. How did those tares get there? And it says that the evil man soweth the tares. And what are some of the tares? In Mark, the 4th chapter, the 19th verse, it says, "The cares of this world choke out the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Deceitfulness of riches are the lust of other things, the pleasures of this life." In the book of Luke, the 21st chapter, I like the 21st chapter. I think it has a lot to teach us. And it tells us about the times of the end. And listen to this. This is what we're going to see in the future. "When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then knoweth that desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Jerusalem, are in Judea, flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck, in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The seas, the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in great glory? "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable. Behold, a fig tree, when all the trees, and they now shoot forth. Yea, see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as the snare shall it come on all that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. We're to be watching, as the song says, watching and waiting. But he doesn't want us to be idle. He wants us to be out doing the job that we were called to do. So anxious cares about visible and temporal things and the inordinate pursuit of them. The former is a snare of those that are given to their pleasures. This is a snare of the men of business that will be rich. We're told not to seek for riches, but for riches that we can lay up in heaven. And if we do that, we seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then it will be added to us. So some snares are tares that are in our spiritual garden are what other people are saying about us that take our mind and our heart off of our responsibilities and what God wants us to do. Another tare is that we don't think we are worthy. We're not worthy. It says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Another tare is that we allow our hearts and our feet to wander into by and forbidden paths. I'd like for all of you to go back and read 1 Nephi, the second chapter, starting with the 56th verse and read through the 83rd. That's talking about Lehi's dream and Nephi's dream and interpretation. In this, you'll find it talks about the rod of iron. And we need to hold on to that rod of iron because when we get into the mist of darkness, we can lose our way. And that rod of iron leads us to the tree of life. Now, the mist of darkness, you'll see that when we're in the mist of darkness, we can still see that great and spacious building that's in the air. I'm sorry? 1 Nephi, 2nd chapter, 56 through the 83rd verse. And what are they doing in that great and spacious building? You'd think that there'd be something for them to do other than standing at the window and pointing and laughing and mocking. We can't let others rob us of our divine nature. Well, I've just about run out of things to say. My prayer for you is that you would weed your spiritual garden. And we all need to repent. And I pray that God would bless you through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
but study this prophecy. I think he's talking about the 1,000-year reign that we will live and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Why do I think that? Let's read on. And for the last time have I nourished my vineyard and pruned it and dug about it and dunged it. Wherefore I will lay up unto mine own self of the fruit for a long time according to that which I have spoken. And when the time cometh, that evil fruit shall come again. Stop there. And when the time cometh that evil fruit shall come again, now what period of time are we in? When Satan's loosed at the end of the 1,000-year reign. For when the time cometh that evil fruit shall come again into my vineyard, then will I cause the good and the bad to